Now I want to teach you something real quick about that word holy. It's a positional truth. Whether you think you holy, he made you holy.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with how you act. He made you holy. I know some of you going, Pastor, that goes against everything I ever learned in church. Well, get your Bible out. Do some studying. You are holy. He made you holy. You are as holy as you are righteous. Come on, brother. Got me a helper over here trying to preach. I'm going to let him come up here and preach sometime. But my point is that you are holy. And when you sing that song, man, when you begin to give God praise even privately, and you begin to realize you are worshiping a holy God.
Amen.
And he's in the presence of a holy son or daughter.
Amen.
Come on now. Because see, with him, he knows you have a body, but that don't mean rip to him. He's looking at that new nature that he put in you. That's what he's fellowshipping with. Amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight we're going to talk about worship and we're going to talk about faith. And as we progress into the year, we're going to begin to start talking about exercising your faith. So as we continue our journey into worship and developing our faith, we're going to look at what I would call a very familiar portion of Scripture. You've read these before, but tonight we're going to put a whole different meaning on them if you haven't heard this before. If you have your Bibles, go over to Luke chapter 17. I only sent Devin one set of scriptures. I think it was two. And that was Luke 17. And I'm like, he's going, what in the world? So we're going to go through the whole chapter pretty much, sir. Okay? But just put in Luke 17, and we're going to get started. Now, in this setting, as I set it up, Jesus began speaking to his disciples about the inevitability of offenses and walking in forgiveness. But before we go on the further, I want to do one thing. I want to remind you about the laws of meditation. First of all, what's the first law of meditation? Never take a verse out of its setting. Never. That's why you've got so many fouled up messages, because you think you know what he was talking about. Leave the verse in its setting. It'll speak for itself. So never take the verse out of setting. Next, determine what the subject matter is. Sometimes there may be more than one subject. Sometimes the subject may change, but know what it is and learn to recognize when the subject matter changes. So we're going to do some of that tonight in this verse of Scripture, in this portion of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, go over to Luke chapter 7, verse 1, and we're going to start with 17, excuse me, you know what I meant, okay? And Jesus said these words, "It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." Now, what do you think is the subject matter here? It's obvious. Huh? Offenses. But now, when you see the subject matter, don't be so etched in stone as to think it cannot change. Because it may or may not be the subject matter. But we know he's talking about his disciples about being offended. Why? Because they were saying things about Jesus that offended them. You ever been around somebody or been hanging out with somebody, and then you go to another set of friends and they just start talking about that person? How do you feel? You feel offended. And Jesus saying, when you hear that, nah. Don't be offended. No, that's what the enemy is trying to get you to do, is to be offended. So we know he's talking about offenses. But now, here's really what this verse is all about. It says, but woe unto him. Mm-hmm. Now, who is the him?
The person who spoke.
El Diablo. You got to learn something, ladies and gentlemen. The person behind your problems that's giving you fits, it's not the person you're looking at. It's the one behind that person.
Amen.
See, when you say, Pastor Craig, I just don't agree with you as a Christian, you're not disagreeing with me. You're arguing with the God that I serve.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You're fighting with the God I serve.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is this. I may say something to you. Well, is the God that you serve the same God that I serve. Because the God that I serve says that certain things shouldn't come out of your mouth, but you may let them come out of your mouth. So is the God that you serve the same God that I serve? Boy, getting real quiet in this Presbyterian church. There is but one God. Amen. And we've got to get it straight. Amen. He is one God. He loves us all. Mm-hmm. We're all on different levels. We're all going down different. We're maturing on different levels and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean that you can make God to be anything you want him to be. He is what he is by his word. But the thing is this, it says, woe unto him through whom they come. So he's saying, listen, understand the person bringing this, these offenses is not the person you're talking to. It's the one behind him. What did Jesus say when Peter said, you'll not go to the cross? Jesus did not address Peter. Jesus said, get thee behind thee, Satan. Amen. He addressed the person behind Peter. So we got to remember, that's the one that's creating all this hassle, all these problems. Verse number 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Yes. El Diablo. Jesus said, I'm going to get to this in a minute, but over in Isaiah, he said, I made him and I'll take him out. And what God is saying, Jesus is saying here, listen, we got a plan for the old boy. We're going to end his days eventually. It's not going to come tomorrow, but he has an end time. Don't you worry about it. You just follow the principles that I'm teaching you and everything's going to be all right. That's where your power is. It's when you allow offenses, when you allow disagreements to cause you to think, well, maybe I'm wrong. Don't start thinking like that. No, because that's exactly what the devil wants, okay? Now get this. There are going to be testing and trials. There are going to be tribulations. There's going to be type B influenza. Hurricanes, storms, tornadoes, earthquakes, droughts, wildfires, misunderstanding, and people will invariably hate you. That's what he's saying there. He says, get used to it. But it's not the people you want to be upset with. They're not your problem. Because I guarantee when that person's removed, there's going to be another one. Now, where did the other one come from? You're trying to get rid of one person in your neighborhood, one person in your life, and God's going, your battle is bigger than that. It's not confined to one person. It's confined to an enemy, and that's who he is. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus points out that the person behind it all is El Diablo. Last week in Isaiah 54:16, we covered that God is the one that made Lucifer, and he's the one that will bring him to naught. Verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and he'd be cast into the sea. In other words, a lake of fire. That we should offend one of these little ones. We are the little ones mentioned here. Just like the babes and sucklings mentioned in Psalm chapter 8. That's who we are. Jesus gives us a warning about offenses. And then he identifies the one behind him. Behind them all, not some, but them all, and how he intends on dealing with the devil in the end times. Now, up to this point in time, one would think the subject of these verses is what? Offenses and forgiveness, right? But that would not be entirely true. Remember, let all the verses collectively tell you what the subject matter is. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Don't try to think that you're some theologian and that you've got it. No, allow the Holy Spirit, allow the verses that are written here tell you what the subject is. This is a common failure. And it's why there are so many misinterpretations of simple scripture. The father takes the persecution of his children very personally. When you're being persecuted because of righteousness, he takes that very, very seriously. Judgment against those who persecute his children may not come in time before they are harmed or injured. But listen, he will revenge his own. He will. It's because you see somebody, man, they got over on me. Oh, ye of little faith. You hold on to your faith. See, one thing I want to teach you about faith, faith is not a tool that you use. Faith is a lifestyle. It's a perspective. It's something that you live by every moment of your life. And no matter what's coming against you, you're still living by faith. It doesn't matter whether you've been knocked down and, boy, I didn't see that coming. You're still in faith. Why? That's what's going to raise you up and put you in the victory lap. Amen? Let's stay there. Now, I'm going to show you how these verses are not talking about forgiveness. Now, it's okay to have that as a subject matter. But look at verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, do what?
Forgive him.
Now, let me go out and say this. Even if he doesn't repent, you still forgive him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if, verse 4, and if he trespasses against thee 7 times, what do you do in a day? Now, I could sit and preach on that all night long. There's a whole lot right there. I ain't going to spend my time on that. But what it's saying is there is no limit to his forgiveness. Should be no limit to yours. But you don't know what they said about me, Pastor. Let me ask you a question. In your Bible, are these words in red or black? So who's speaking here? And if he trespassed against thee 7 times in one day, and 7 times in one day again turn to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And remember, whether or not they accept your forgiveness, I've had people say, well, Pastor, they wouldn't accept my forgiveness. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
God forgives more than 7 times.
Well, amen. Thank God he does. Amen. She said God forgives more than 7 times 70. Thank God he does. Amen to that. Amen. But why is forgiveness so important to an offense? Because now we're going to get down to what the subject matter is. Because it all has to do with your faith. That's what these verses, that's what this portion of scripture is talking about. It's talking about your faith. Verse 5. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Now remember, this is the first time that I can ever remember the disciples saying, Lord, increase our faith. And notice it's on the heels of talking about what?
Forgiveness.
Now, many of you probably right now going, Lord, increase my faith. Because I'm going to have to forgive so-and-so, so-and-so. You should be forgiving them even now.
Amen.
In your heart, you should be forgiving them. Why? It's not the person that's giving you all the hassle. It's the person behind the person.
Oh, okay.
The person that's in your face that you see, he's just being used by El Diablo.
Okay.
And he don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians don't realize they're being used by the devil, even right in the middle of church. How many, now you don't have to be sanctified, I'll go ahead and bear witness to it, but how many have had some pretty evil thoughts while you were in church? Every one of y'all know you have. Every single one of you know you have. Now let me ask you a question. Did that thought come from you?
No.
No, it did not. And the moment that you begin to realize that you're not the author of that thought, because the enemy will have you going down the road like, how could I think that way? How could I even think I thought about that? My goodness, I must be a monster. No, the person behind you is trying to get you to do some bad stuff. Yes, he is a monster.
Yes, he is.
He's a horrible person. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes, sir.
But we've all have been down that road before. Now, that doesn't give you a license to start thinking all kind of bad stuff about your neighbor. No, you're supposed to do what? Control that stuff. Take captive of those thoughts. Exactly. Remove those thoughts from you. Bind them and cast them away from you. Now, our initial reaction would be to harbor unforgiveness to any type of offense, because that's the enemy's strategy. The devil knows all too well that unforgiveness, what unforgiveness does to a believer's faith. When we're born again, we are all given a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. God has given to every man the measure of our faith. This faith that you have on the inside of you right now, this measure of faith that you have on the inside of you is an abiding fruit of the Spirit that's within you.
Amen.
It's just like that. It's just like holiness is in you. That's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is in you right now.
Amen.
Now, the deal is that most of us haven't exercised our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to exercise our faith. We've tried to, we want to, we're studying it, we'll go buy books on the ABCs of faith. And some of those books, don't get me wrong, some of them are good, some of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot learn how to exercise faith by reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know where you mostly learn how to exercise your faith? Say again. That's a good place, but that's a hard place to learn. I can show you a better place than that.
Oh, I know.
Where?
Worshiping God.
When you're in his presence, that's the time to start listening to God about faith.
Amen.
And asking about your faith. Why doesn't my faith work there? You know what he'll tell you? It's working.
Amen.
It's just working in the negative. Mm-hmm. You got doubt and unbelief working. But your faith is working. Well, I'm just being frank with you. If you want to hear God in these things, when you get along with him, begin to ask him, why does my faith work? And again, he'll be very explicit to you. Oh, your faith's working all right. Because faith is just not simply, and I'm getting ahead of myself, it's not just simply what you say, it's also how you act. So you believe God, I believe that by your stripes I'm healed. And the moment you say that, you ran down to the corner drugstore buying you some Theraflu. It's like one guy, he was going to have Curry Blake pray for his wife. And so they went by the church, got prayed for. And no, that's not it. He was on disability. And he was about to be approved for disability. And so he said, Pastor, when you pray for me, can you make the healing effective after a certain date so I can get my disability? Well, there's no faith in that, folks. There's no faith in that. You negated your faith. And it's what the enemy has placed on the inside of you through unforgiveness, through strife, that causes you to capitulate every time the pressure gets on. And what we got to realize is that our faith will work every single time. There's a thing called the law of faith. Does anybody know what that law is? Does anybody know what that kind of the law of faith is? The law of faith works every single time. That's why it's called the law. It doesn't fail. It works. The law of faith works every single time. What you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. But remember, it's not just simply what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. It's also what you're doing. How are you acting? Are you walking in forgiveness? Are you allowing offenses affect you? But you don't know what she said about me. I don't really care what she said about you. All I know is what she said about you doesn't have an effect on you, but you are surely reacting to it the wrong way. You're responding to it the wrong way. I thought you were believing God for your healing. Well, I am. No, not now, you ain't. You're not in faith right now. You can't be right now. Well, but the thing is, what they did was wrong. That's not your place to judge. The Bible says vengeance belongs to God. Doesn't belong to you. Amen? The faith that's abiding in us, this faith is an abiding fruit of the Spirit within us. It is our test and trials that causes us to grow or mature in our faith over time. Now, here's the thing. Now, get this valuable lesson here. Here comes a nugget. Some of you will get it, some of you won't. Many will be in your prayer time. You'll go, I got it. God will go, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Faith is not measured in the amount of, but how much faith is used or manifested and maintained in the midst of your trials. In other words, one could walk in or maintain great faith, little faith, or no faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Faith is not a mass or a large amount. It is rather the intensity, the sincerity of the heart. Meaning, if you're going to be in faith and everything in your life is seem to be breaking loose, if you're going to remain in faith, you have to remain in, God, I believe you are going to bring me through this.
Amen.
And I don't care what your grandma says. I don't care what your next door neighbor says. I don't care what your boss says. I don't care what your economist says. That doesn't matter. Is that, do you believe what God says? And if you believe what God says and you hang with it, your faith will bring you through.
Amen.
Now, here's the difference. That faith has to be developed. Now, remember, it's already on the inside of you. Everybody's been given the measure of faith. Amen?
Amen.
But that faith has to be developed in his presence. You have to spend time with him.
Amen.
And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to explain to you what you're doing personally wrong, why your faith is not working. And for many of you, it's going to be very small adjustments. Well, what I would call small adjustments, but you're going to call major adjustments. In other words, go forgive so-and-so. Let go of those offenses. That's going to be the basis of most of it. Okay, now, a lot of people are going to have a hard time with that. But listen, that's why you spend time with him in private worship, and you'll begin to exchange those things for his strength. You'll begin to exchange your ignorance on faith for his wisdom.
Amen.
All of a sudden, you'll begin to realize, you know what? It makes no sense for me to hate that knucklehead over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just a conduit. He's just being the devil's mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. So again, you can have great faith. You can have little faith, mm-hmm, or no faith. It's not how much faith you think that you're walking in. It's whether or not you maintain an attitude of faith, an attitude of believing. And that doesn't come because you've read your Bible or you've quoted some scripture 1,000 times. That comes by you spending time with the Father in his presence, and he begins to take out the things in you that's causing you to capitulate. Many of you think that God does not want to bless you.
Capitulate.
Mean you give up, you give in. Many of you think that God is withholding something from you. God is not holding anything from you. God wants to give you everything that he has said in his word. But here's the problem. You have an enemy that doesn't want you to have it.
Mm.
And he'll use whatever scheme he can. He'll get you to blame anybody else but little old you.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell you, go look at the man in the mirror.
Amen.
Your faith is not working for one reason and one reason only. Because you.
Amen. I agree.
But I want to give you some encouragement tonight. Your faith will work.
Amen.
It's just that simple. But you've got to spend time with God. And you've got to follow these things. Whenever you see these instructions about offenses and unforgiveness, you got to watch that stuff in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they ripped me off. Do you want your faith to work or not? See, the first time, when I contracted the flu, you know what I'm thinking? I'm searching my heart. Is there anything in my heart that doesn't belong? Why? Anything could sneak in there. It could be you and your crazy driving on 610 that set me off. Well, I'm just getting home where you are. I'm just reading your mail. I know you ain't going to say it, so I'm going to say it. There are some things that's happening to you that you're holding on to that you have not released. And if you get spend time with God and you'll start telling him, I love you, I worship you, I magnify you, I give you praise, all of a sudden he'll go scratch, 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 where you get all that stuff hid. And he'll just start pushing that dirt out the way, and he'll push it and go, now, there you go. And you'll do one thing. Either you'll turn coat and start covering it back up, or you'll go, help me get rid of this mess. Oh, I know. If you don't spend time with him, you won't want to get rid of it. No. No. It's called your flesh. And your flesh will tell you, that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay. We got doctors. We'll get a better job. We'll find a way to make it. Why we want to live by faith? When you get to heaven, the day you walk into heaven, the moment you walk into heaven, all of this will flash before you. And you'll realize, I was holding on to the wrong thing. Get rid of it now. This is why we've been spending so much time on private worship.
Pastor,
yes.
I saw a commercial, I think it was today or yesterday. They said by doctors, and they have a couple of scenes where they were different people, and they were using natural means, you know, like drinking cinnamon, and they had somebody else doing something else. They're using natural means. And then the doctor comes in and she says, don't bother with all that. We know better. We have the best solution to it all.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, just to let you know, this is about faith. Verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted to the sea, and it would obey you. And as I said, we've all been given a measure of faith. So now let me jump down to where the part of this verse or this chapter I really want to get to. So jump down to verse 11. Now remember, the subject matter hasn't changed. We're still talking about faith. Verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem and passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Jesus meets these 10 lepers, and they knew who he was. He may not have met them before or knew where they came from, but they were very much aware of him. You think they'd been following him around a little bit? Probably so. But they had to, because they're lepers now, they were not in public. They could not hang out in the general public. They had to hang out afar. But one thing they did know, they knew of his power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. They knew this man has had powers beyond that they had ever seen before. Perhaps they had been following him from afar, waiting on the right time to approach him. Well, this was their day. Lepers are not allowed to be in public. So they stood afar off from him, and they began to shout their petition to Jesus. The petition was really simple and to the point. Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master. Now, what is that? That's worship, man. They may not know much, but one thing they got down, we worshiping this guy.
Amen.
We may not get too close to him, but we're going to worship him.
Hallelujah.
They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master. They called him Master.
Amen.
They called him Master. Now, if I can get you to call him Master, we'd be all right. If If I can get you to call him master one-on-one, we have something going on here. Have mercy on us. And immediately, look what Jesus says. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyselves to the priest. And it came to pass, that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, the thing is, what I want to point out here, they weren't healed instantaneously. They were healed as they went. Jesus always healed right away. No, they don't. He didn't. They were healed as they went. And they were healed of their leprosy. But what happens next is where I want to begin the teaching. Verse 15. Now remember, there's 10 of these guys. And they're shouting out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Master, heal us. And Jesus go show yourself to the priest, meaning what you ask, you've got. So all 10 of these guys turn, and man, they are beeline it for the temple. Why? Because they can't be in public unless the priest gives them permission to be in public. They have to confirm that they no longer have, it has to be confirmed by the high priest or by a priest that they no longer have leprosy. So they're taking off. They're a beeline. And then they're realizing, man, we've been healed. But then watch what one does. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Now, you think they were all healed at a different time? No, they all got healed at the same time. But the one, when he realized that he was healed, look what he did. Now remember, when he first met Jesus, they said, Jesus, have mercy upon us. Well, they had enough worship. Ain't that enough praise? It is? Nah. You can't give him too much praise and worship. But when he realized what had happened to him, he was overwhelmed. And just one of them turned around and he began to come back to Jesus. And with a loud voice. Now remember, he's not supposed to be in public. He hasn't been confirmed yet. He hasn't been confirmed that he's free of leprosy. But because he knows he's been healed and because he is overflowing with joy, he comes back and he begins to do what? The Bible says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Now, let me demonstrate to you what a loud voice in glorifying God is. I give you praise. I worship you. That's how I worship God in my private time. Now, I don't know about you, but that's how I give God praise. I give him praise with a loud voice. Let me tell you something. Us loud folk in heaven, we're going to be sitting right next to Jesus. Why? That's where we belong. Now, all you folks go, shh, you too loud. Go sit down somewhere. Go sit down somewhere. You just made me feel bad all in church. You're just so loud. This boy was loud. The Bible says he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. That's private worship. Now, not only did he worship God, but watch what else he did. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And listen, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan. Now, I got you set up now. I wonder how many of you giving God praise and you are born again child of God. Don't shout me down now. Huh? Is this what's happening in the church today? We got people that have their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and yet God can't get you to come apart and begin to give him praise and begin to give him worship just because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You're too busy. You don't have time. Your schedule's too fast. Come on, somebody. Those 10, those 9 just took off. And that one went, no, there's something in my heart that's causing me to go back and tell this man thank you, to give him praise. That should be you. That should be you. Even when all H-E double hockey stick is tearing up in your life, you ought to be, he still deserves my praise. He still deserves my glory. When I'm laying in bed with type B influenza, now the first day I had a hard time giving him praise. But boy, I tell you what, after I got myself situated, I began to give him praise. I began to worship him day in and day out. And when I decided to go back to work, the first thing I did when I went back to work, and I went back to work early at 6 o'clock in the morning, I went back to my favorite spot, and for 2 hours I worshiped him. I glorified him. I magnified him. That's the kind of church we're supposed to be. That's who we should, that's who we are. But you know what? Oftentimes, we can't get the church to worship God unless something good has just happened. We can't get you to worship God unless there's some kind of big name speaker coming to town. And he's in your building, and man, he's just preaching up a storm, and man, you're going, God, that was good. You know what God's going to want to tell you? I can preach as good as he can. That's what God used to tell me. I was like, God, that guy can preach. He says, son, I can preach just as good as he can. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Yes, it broke me from going, man, that was good. Yeah, it was good. But listen, Jesus can preach just as well. Amen. But here's the thing. If you don't know how to spend time with him, you're not going to hear those messages. If you don't know how to spend time with him, you're not going to hear well done. One morning I was in my private worship time, and I'm worshiping God, and I'm kind of got a little quiet. And he says, hey, sweetie. I'm like, who is sweetie? He's like, that's you. I'm like, okay, I could be sweetie. I never heard that before. But what am I saying? That's intimacy. Amen. He's telling me how close he is to me. It kind of startled me. I'm like, sweetie. You know, I wanted to go out buying that, but I knew he wasn't the one that you're buying. But the bottom line is this. What I'm trying to get across to you is this. God deserves to be worshiped.
Yes, he does.
God deserves to be praised.
Amen.
One on one. Amen. Just like this one leper. Let me close out with this. This Samaritan returned with praise and worship for Jesus healing him. This man wasn't a particularly religious man, but it reveals something about in this man's heart. All the lepers knew that they had to go and present their bodies before the priest before they would be permitted to re-enter into society. To be sure, all of them have something to be thankful for. Could this be the portrait of the church today? Anybody whose name in around Lamb's Book of Life has something to be thankful for.
Amen.
And Jesus answering said this. This is after the man turned and worshiped him. Jesus said this. Were there not 10 clean? But where are the 9? God is saying, did I not save Susie and John and Barry and Jim and Franklin? But all I see is Joe. Where are the rest of them? Jesus is saying, where are you? Where is your worship? Why haven't I seen you in my presence lately? Why are you so reluctant to come and to give you praise? There is one part here I want to really cover. Okay, I'll go over here then. Exactly, that's it. You read my notes. 17 says, where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Verse 19, this is what Jesus said. He said, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, where did this man get his faith? from worshiping God. There was something in him. There was something in him that Jesus found and said, your faith. Now listen, he said, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say has made you healed. He said has made you whole. Them other nine fellas, they still had deformed legs, deformed hands. They had stuff missing off of their bodies because they had leprosy. They just got rid of the leprosy. This old boy came back like a fresh babe in Christ. When you begin to learn how to worship God, God will not only take away the reproach, God will begin to put you back together again. That's why it's so important to learn how to worship him. Yes, you've been forgiven, but he's got so much more in store than just your forgiveness. It has to do with your restoration, your family, your finances. It's not just about what you can get from God. It's about what God is willing to give you because you become to give him. You've come to give him praise. The Bible says, Jesus said, your faith, not Jesus' faith, your faith has made you whole. Amen. It was Jesus that will make me whole.
Amen.
It's not my doctor. Amen. It's not the medication.
Amen.
Okay, although I want all the symptoms of the flu gone, don't get me wrong. But that's not what I want. I want to be able to know the next time influenza comes knocking on my door, I said, get! And it'll bow its knee.
Amen.
That's what we want. That's what we're striving for. This isn't about playing church and sitting on a pew and acting like a certain way. No, this is about you spending time with him and let him transform you from the inside out.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. You're going to preach all. You're going, we ain't got much time now.
Yeah.
You're going to preach anyway, so.
Leprosy is one is neuro and one is skin, which you carry. That is very contagious. People may have any skin only behind the ear and chest and back, which even area. You may be sitting next door, which has a very contagious leprosy. And the one which loses the nose, the hand, and this is the neuropathy. Nerve. The problem is in the nerve, which is not contagious. That is, you have to understand. But it is more visible. So people will say, oh, this is leprosy. He's a leper. Mm-hmm. But that is not contagious.
Mm-hmm.
That is not contagious, and we cannot, we should not be neglected.
Amen.
That is an important part of leprosy. It goes in the nerve and it affects skin, the blood vessels and everything. It's very deep-seated problem. Only Jesus can heal.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have to build the trust in them. He's the healer.
Amen.
And nobody else.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So the thing is I want you to understand tonight is this. If God can heal the leper and make him whole by his faith, what can he do with you that you are a child of God? This was a stranger. This was a Samaritan. This man was not of the household of God. He was not of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was not of that lineage. He was a Samaritan. Actually, the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews at all. Okay? But Jesus still healed him. And this was the one that came back to worship God. You don't think he had concerns about whether or not his praise would even be received, being that he was a stranger? But the Bible says that your faith has made you whole. If you'll learn to worship God privately, if you'll learn the art, and I shouldn't say it like it's something you have to develop, but that worship is already in you. You just got to let it come out.
Amen.
God will begin to reveal to you who he is, and your faith will begin to grow.
Amen.
Folks, faith is not something you can study a book and take a test on. Faith is something that you spend time with God, and the Holy Spirit starts revealing who he is on the inside of you. Really, all faith is this: total trust and belief in God.
Amen.
That's it. No, it's just total trust and belief in God.
Amen.
But now here's the problem. How many can make yourself believe something? The world knows better. Why? It's put all kind of fear. It's put all kind of concerns. Everything in you, every day, every billboard, there's something around you that calls you. Those things are not around you just because, oh, that's nice advertisement. No, it is around you because it's trying to affect your belief system. I remember when I first became in the ministry, and I didn't know very much about spirit, soul, and body. I had heard about it, but the Holy Spirit never revealed it to me. I'd go into the sanctuary of the church, and I'd be like, John Osteen's casket was up there. I wonder if his spirit is still in the room. True story. I had to let God begin to reveal to me spirit, soul, and body. And now I understand there ain't no such thing as a ghost.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying that, but I guarantee you there are people in this room that you still believe in ghosts. You really do. You still believe. I had one guy argue with me that there was such thing called zombies. There's no such thing called zombies. Okay? But the bottom line is that's why we spend time with God, so that God can begin to reveal to you himself, and so he can bypass your intellect and go straight to your innermost being and begin to reveal his plans, his ideas, his thoughts, his purposes and pursuit for you. He can reveal those to you one-on-one. And Charlie, when that begins to happen, you are a different person.
Amen.
It's like I said earlier, I begin to realize that the reason why there's so much contention, even in this nation, it's not over what a person believes, it's what a person believes in. The struggle in this nation is about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob versus the God that we conjure up in our own mind. And there are many in the church today that have a God that they've conjured up on their own. He permits fornication. He permits promiscuity. He permits lying. He permits cheating on your taxes. He permits all these things. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve doesn't permit any of that. Now, I'm not trying to make this bar high for young Christians, because we all have some growing to do. But as I look throughout this crowd, I'm thinking that everybody here, is there anybody that has been born again less than a year in this room? For the purposes of the recording, there's not one hand up. So that means you've been walking with God for a while. Amen? You've been walking with God for a while. Some of you, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Amen?
Amen?
Then why is a lot of this stuff still going on in your life? Why are there divisions over what we believe and what we don't believe? For example, why is there a division about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some say you can have it. Some say you can't. Some say, well, I tried and I couldn't get it. Some say, well, it's a gift, and you can only get it when God decides to give it to you. What's the truth? You've got to spend time with God, and he'll begin to tell you. But I can tell you this. When it comes to the baptism, everybody can pray in tongues. Everybody. If you don't pray in tongues, it's not because God's withholding himself from you. It's because somewhere up in your mind, somebody's told you, you can't pray in tongues. But I'm telling you, that was my first breakthrough, begin to pray in tongues, and God began to reveal himself who he was. And from that, God began to reveal to me the worship limb. He began to reveal to me the fasting limb. He began to reveal with me the meditation by assimilation limb I just absolutely love. I can read his word and instantaneously, there's something on the inside of me. And if I hear you preaching, I'm going to go, nope, that ain't what that says. Well, what makes you right? The third person of the Godhead.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. He's on the inside of me. And the thing is, he's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit in me. It's supposed to be in you.
Amen.
So why should there be any difference? He doesn't teach me differently than he does you. Meaning, he doesn't teach me something different on a subject than he would teach you. Now, we may have different levels, and he may be teaching me on a different pathway. But the bottom line is, their teaching is going to be the same.
Amen.
If I were to have two people, one in the Amazon, one on this side of the Amazon River, and one other side of the Amazon River, and one has a Bible, and one all has is baptism in the Holy Spirit, when they finally cross the river together some 1,000 miles later, guess what? They should be identical. Why? Because the Bible and the Holy Spirit will identify and agree with each other.
Amen.
There's no difference.
Amen.
So why are there so much disagreement? Because we don't spend time with God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't spend time with the third person of the Godhead. But tonight we're talking about spending time with your Heavenly Father in private worship.
Amen.
And it's in that time that you begin to spend time with Him. He'll begin to say, now, oh, by the way, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, you got just this little distorted point of view on that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just such a small thing, he changes it, and all of a sudden comes flooding in? Revelation knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that one misunderstanding that you have is what's choking the truth that he's trying to get across to you. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of this can be erased through private worship.
Amen.
And again, I realize this is not something that's taught at every church or at every Bible study. But I promise you, this will set you free.
Amen.
You will never be the same again. Amen?
Amen?
Well, praise the Lord. I'm gonna stop right there. Private worship. The leper came back to give God praise, and his faith, because of his worship, his faith made him whole. And it'll make you whole as well.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.